Thank you very much, Michael, and it's a pleasure to be here. Let me just set the scene for the CRC for you. We've been in existence for 10 years now. We've got 94 organisations who are partners, 55 companies, 20 government agencies, and 20 universities and research institutes. And in recent years, New Zealand has joined us as a major partner. So with Australia and New Zealand, Cooperative Research Centre for Spatial Information. Our industry and our science community are very pleased that we've now got a satellite utilisation policy, building on the back of a space policy for industry of a couple of years ago. And I'm just showing here the launch that sort of ensured that we had a high-profile development of the policy itself, and we were delighted to be there. Now, Jennifer's adequately covered the policy in terms of its principles. I just want to emphasise that two of the three major themes in the policy are spatially related. They're spatial science: position, navigation and timing, and Earth observation. Over the last couple of years, Australia's put a big effort into developing strategy around national positioning and Earth observation. And I'm going to talk about both of those in a moment. These are coming to fruition, though, in terms of plans which are being put to the Australian government. In the first case, the National Positioning Infrastructure Plan was initiated by Cabinet. The plan has now been worked through in 2012 and has gone through all the states and a lot of stakeholders and is now coming back. The Earth Observation from Space plan and strategy has been developed by the stakeholders, with Geoscience Australia playing a lead role. And just to remind us, on the right-hand side are the priority areas for the space policy. I won't go back over these now. You've seen them both in Jennifer's talk and in John's talk. But let's bear those in mind as we go through what I'm about to tell you about the activities that we're involved in. In relation to the national positioning infrastructure, this policy and plan is going to tick off every one of those activities on the right-hand side, and it's going to do a lot more for us. It's going to set an overarching picture for infrastructure investments in precise positioning for Australia. Its overall objective is to be able to give us the ability to position ourselves in real time, with no latency, to within 2 centimetres of true, anywhere outdoors at any time. In addition to that, the strategy acknowledges the need to have seamless integration between outdoor positioning and indoor positioning. So as you can see on the diagram here, we are taking into account not just the outdoor continuous operating reference stations that are building a network of precise positioning solutions across Australia using satellite positioning from the Global Navigation Satellite Systems suite, but also a range of other indoor and local positioning systems. And ultimately, we're going to have an integrated approach. Now, that's a really significant objective for Australia, the fact that the disparate approaches we've been taking at the moment, jurisdiction by jurisdiction, are now coming together in an agreed overarching strategy. If we can achieve this, our economic modelling undertaken by Allen Consulting tells us that we will add $32 billion of gross value to the Australian economy through a single network solution positioned to within 2 centimetres. And that modelling has been done to Treasury rigour. So at stake is a very significant value add for Australia. How do we get there, though? Now, there's a few minor issues that we have to tackle. Most of us are probably aware that there are now 5 additional systems to GPS being developed. Some are global and some are regional. So Russia, the European Union with Galileo, Russia with GLONASS, the Japanese, the Indians and the Chinese are all developing GNSS or regional navigation satellite systems. And I'm told, just recently, that Korea are going to develop a regional navigation satellite system as well. Has anybody heard that?
Is it north or south?
I'll leave you to determine which one that is. So we could add another flag to that list. And if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, you can see a kind of a heat diagram, and I'll just, I apologise for those of you sitting at the back of the room. At the top is the number 60, which gives us an idea of the number of satellites at any one time that any location within the Earth is going to be able to see. That's the red. Round here in the middle is the yellow. We've got about 50 to 40, and then down the bottom is the blue, and you've got less than 40. See where the concentration is here. It's around the west of Australia and up through Central Asia here. But Australia is one of the few countries in the world that enjoys almost peak coverage for most of the time. I'm led to believe that we can thank Andrew Dempster for this diagram. Andrew originated that diagram, and we use it extensively. It gives us a pictorial case for allowing those who don't fully understand the power of positioning to understand why we would want to develop the capability of ingesting the signals of all of those systems at once to be able to feed into our precise positioning objective. So, there's a little research that's required first before we can read all of those signals seamlessly through our continuous operating reference system. And in the CRC, one of our eight research programs, the positioning program, is designed to solve the problems, to bring those signals together, to provide that precise solution. And you can see around the arrows there, the individual components in our research program which are going to be designed to solve that problem. So we've got research teams from the University of Melbourne, the University of New South Wales, Curtin University, Queensland University of Technology, RMIT University, right across Australia, actively involved in this. We've got the Australian New Zealand Land Information Council, peak body for all of the government agencies sitting behind this, and a large number of our companies are actively involved as well. So a significant national effort going into solving the research problems here. Recently, we have developed the capability to bring together Galileo and GPS in a single solution, GPS and Beidou, which is the Chinese system, and GPS, Beidou and Galileo. So our research teams are already making significant advances here, and these advances will be capable of being used globally. So, just to go into a little bit more detail, what we're looking to do is to develop a real-time kinematic precise point positioning solution. So that means precise down to 2 centimetres or below, real-time and kinematic on the move. So wherever you are, developing that solution. And here we're showing our ability to go from about 1 metre positioning accuracy down to, well, maybe even 1 centimetre. We're setting ourselves the objective of 2, but maybe even lower than that. And our tests are beginning to show that we're capable of achieving that. So the research in this program, although it's only a couple of years old, is making significant progress already. Now, here I've got a slide which one of our PhD candidates has developed, Grant Hausler, and Grant is in the audience today. Grant is telling us in this slide that we've only got 8% of Australia covered at the moment by networks that offer the 2 centimetre solution. And I say networks because there are 6 different networks in this one, Grant, or is it more?
Yeah, I think it's 6.
6. So we don't have a single solution. So if you're going to drive around Australia, you've got to hook into each of these different networks. And that's not an easy thing to do. What we're looking to do is to develop a single network, like a single copper wire for Telstra. And that requires a political solution, agreement from the agencies, as well as the technical solutions. So we're working on the technical solutions. This diagram gives us our 8% coverage for the network solution, but also shows the density of the base stations across Australia, which will enable us to build that network. We're going to need to look at densities like that in Victoria, which can already achieve a 2 centimetre positioning solution. The rest of Australia can't get there yet. There are parts that can, but most of Australia, the vast majority of Australia, can't. And what we're looking to do is to enable that network to be densified, perhaps not to the same level as Victoria, if we can do it without going to 70 kilometres spacing for the base stations. Maybe we can go further out, but still get that 2 centimetres We can save the investment in the infrastructure and improve our efficiencies. So why is that significant? Well, let's look at Japan here. And here we have the whole of Japan, and we're showing the network of continuous operating reference stations, all linked in Japan, right across the nation. You can see the density there, it's like Victoria. And this is just a few seconds before the Sendai earthquake struck. Now, what we're going to see is the real vertical and horizontal displacement once the earthquake hits. I'm going to animate this in a moment. So there's 1 metre, you can get some idea of how far 1 metre is, going vertically and horizontally. So let's fire this up and we can watch this. Okay, so the countdown has started. The island is moving a bit. The earthquake is about to strike. And that gives you some idea in real time of the power of a full network. Now this is for seismic events. We were talking about precise positioning for, you know, ordinary location events, but you can see what else we can do with it. So it's still going, this is still real time. You can see the displacement post-earthquake. So Japan, and we're going to cycle through it again, Japan heads towards America by several metres. It drops in places and it rises in places. And you can see it rises in places by metres and moves by metres. And instantly we get some idea of the enormous dislocation that's occurred within Japan. It's possible that there'll be some predictive capabilities with this technology as well. So Geoscience Australia, who kindly provided this from a range of organisations overseas, are looking at this capability. So what value do you place on a nation having access to those sorts of technologies? We couldn't do it without satellites. That's positioning. Let's just move on to Earth observation for a moment. We know there are around about 3,000 pieces of satellites up there at the moment. Communication, positioning, imaging, civilian, defence. About 160 of those are imaging satellites that are currently operational or have just been decommissioned and available for civilian use. And we can animate this. Each one of these is tracked together with another approximately 500,000 pieces of space junk greater than about a 50-cent coin in size. But this gives you some idea of the developments that are taking place in space around our satellites. All of these are uniquely numbered and then tracked. So 160 imaging satellites. This gives us a big data issue. So in many ways, we're not short of data, but the challenges are what to do with that data. How do we extract the pieces of information that are of real value to us? And that takes us on to the second program within the CRC, which is our Earth Observation Program. And our Earth Observation Program is about airborne, satellite, and terrestrial observing. And it's about bringing those together to produce real-world outcomes for decision-making. Our focus is on data fusion. That's bringing these data sets together in a combined, seamless, and very accurate way, extracting the nuggets of information that we want to use, increasingly doing that in an automated way so there's not nearly as much human effort going into it, developing machine learning so we can value add back into the system on its own, and ultimately to try and push towards near real time. And that's much harder for this, so we're not attempting near real time at the moment for most of our applications. If I just illustrate one outcome of this program already, it takes about 360 Landsat scenes to cover the whole of Australia. We've got those scenes going back ultimately to 1972, so we have got many, many terabytes of data. Geoscience Australia have wanted to put all that data together as a single stitched image, and in the past the way to do that was a lot of manual processing to stitch these images together. We've developed techniques for operating off the whole strip of data rather than each scene, so that's reduced the amount of data that we have to work with, and we've reduced the number of ground control points you need in order to accurately anchor that data to a datum, and we can now go from about 30,000 ground control points down to less than 100. In some cases we can do it with a few dozen for the whole of the nation across all of these data. And that saved, so far, it saved Geoscience Australia about $3 million. And this research has only cost a few hundred thousand. So there's one example already of our activities. Okay, so I'm about to wind up now. Just to put this in a broader context, published data is telling us that the global navigation satellite systems market is growing at around about 11%. Parts of it are actually growing at about 20% per annum compound. And it's not hard to see why, with all those additional global navigation satellite systems going up. The satellite imagery markets are growing in terms of sales at about 12% compound per annum. The geolocation services, that is the value-added component of all that data, off a mobile device for the mass market, is growing at around about 30% per annum. So there is really significant upside to Australia making investments in the analysis and further development of space-based infrastructure. And if I was to leave us with some thoughts about where we go to next, we are clearly a major provider and user of space-based information, particularly government, so government's got a key role to play. Industry, which has the opportunity to grow off coordinated programs in Australia, signalled by our space policy, require clarity from government in terms of public statements. So those two plans I referred to, National Positioning Infrastructure and Earth Observation, start to give us clarity. Industry welcome that. This will enable us to build stronger public-private partnerships. And I think that what the nation now needs is to articulate an overarching strategy which brings together the two strategies that I've indicated and a whole range of others in space, to set that as a strategy with a clear goal, and we should look 10 years out. What does this nation want to look like in relation to its space-based infrastructure investments? We should have a nested spatial strategy in that, so that the spatial components are well articulated in the national picture, and we should have a roadmap which helps get us there. So the CRC research investments can be put in a bigger context, along with all the other research effort, the Australian Space Research Program investments, CSIRO's investments, all the university investments, all the private sector investments, and so on. And the plan should consider industry development critically, the capacity and skills building, the international engagement, which is just fundamentally important. John and Jennifer have made that case already, and obviously the R&D and innovation components. Thank you.